Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, March 14th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. I am Zach Smith, your host, here with my co-host, Chris Drew, every morning, 9 a.m. sharp on YouTube Live. If you could like this video right now and drop a comment, whether you're watching it live or watching it after the fact, just drop a comment and tell me, are you surprised that Tom Brady unretired? That's what we're going to get to in a minute. But first, Chris, we got to talk about they released the brackets. Buckeyes are a 1-point underdog to Sister Jean in Loyola, Chicago. And not really that surprised. I would imagine they probably, if they were to sneak a win in the first round, they will certainly not win in the second round. And that begs to ask the question that we'll get to in a minute. Should Chris Holtmann be fired? Should he be shown the door in Buckeye Nation? But before we get there, I want to just remind everybody, now that the brackets are out, we're doing a March Madness bracketology, bracket challenge, right? Menace Madness. And it is $20 a bracket. And we already have, like, I think it's almost up to $1,000 at the pot. 80% to the winner, 20% to second place. Third place gets their money back. So we are doing it in Menace Nation. So if you are interested, $20 a bracket, Venmo at Cameron Media, $20. Attach your email to the Venmo in the comments so that we can add you to the list, shoot you the link, and you can fill out your bracket and try to win some money and participate in the most fun postseason event in athletics by far. So we got that going on. We also have our squares for charity going on. It's $100 a square. That square plays in every single March Madness game, all 64 games or whatever they are, not the play-in games, but starting Thursday, Friday, all through the weekend, if your square hits on the final score, you win $25 in the first round, $50 in the second round, $100 in the Sweet 16, $200 in the Elite 8, $400, four times your initial investment in the Final Four, and if you hit the national championship game, you win $1,000, $100 with 64 chances to play, by far the most fun squares that we do. So if you want to get in on that, same Venmo at Cameron Media, $100, shoot it to me. You'll be on the list. You'll be on the board when it comes out Thursday morning. And it begs to my next question, Chris, with all this insanity going on, what are your plans for Thursday and Friday?
My plans for Thursday and Friday, man, I'm trying to make it to Columbus.
You gotta make it.
I'm trying to. We'll see. We'll talk a little bit. Don't blindside me with questions like that.
I'm just saying. Are you working? You taking the day off? I mean, I know you're on the morning show. You do this, and then after that, are you basketballed out? Are you a junkie for the day?
I'm a junkie for the day. I'll be somewhere watching games.
You know what's crazy is my son. So I would let him miss school Thursday, Friday to have fun and watch the tournament, but he's missed so much school when he's with my ex-wife that I told him he's not allowed. He's missed too many days of school. I was like, goes to show you, man, you gotta use those days wisely. If you only missed a couple days this year, I'd let you take Thursday, Friday off and watch the tournament, but gotta go to school.
Yeah, when I was in high school around March Madness time, I was in IT. I was one of the computer nerds, and our teacher was a huge basketball fan. So he would just turn all of, like, to computer lab into just a straight March Madness thing, and let the kids who stayed all 4 years in IT just sit there and watch the tournament all day. It was super sick.
I do have, Chris, because we're gonna be. I'm betting all week, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously starting Thursday, but I'm gonna talk about it all week. And we do it through our partner, MyBookie. Right, if you go to MyBookie with the promo code Menace, you get a free deposit match. So you put in $100, they'll give you $100, and you can rock out this tournament with us. So the one bet that I am going to take, I'm going to take Ohio State money line over Loyola. They are a -1, and then we got some other interesting lines here as looking through it. Right, Michigan State -1.5 versus Davidson is another one that I'm keeping an eye on. Right, those are Friday games. Duke's -17.5. Some of these, Texas -1 versus Virginia Tech. The crazy thing is March Madness. Anything can happen. Michigan's only a -2.5 point favorite, so I like that game also.
I can't believe they got in. I cannot believe they got in.
Me either.
Like, neither can Juwan. Like, I cannot believe they got in.
No. And then North Carolina's -3 versus Marquette. Mm-hmm. There's some good lines here that I like. Arkansas -5, I really like also. So play along with us on MyBookie. Go to MyBookie, promo code Menace, get a deposit match, and basically you can use their money to gamble with us. So make sure you jump over and do that. Support them because they support us, and we'll be talking about it every day this week. And when we get closer, you know, playing games, I don't know if I'll bet on those, but the Thursday, I'll definitely have a couple nice parlays going. Friday, a couple nice parlays going. Maybe even an upset pick here or there, right? The 12 seed, what 12 seed is going to hit an upset? That's the question.
They always do. Happens every year.
Yeah. Which one's it going to be? So play along with us on MyBookie. But, Chris, speaking of college basketball, there's some drama in the 330.
Some big drama, man. I don't know what's going on with it, but so I went to the University of Akron. That's like, that's my school. I'm not a graduate. I'm a dropout. Dropped out to go be on the radio. That was my little moment. But yeah, man. So Kent State was playing Akron in the championship game. And then it was the day before, I think, the game, those Kent State players dropped. It was like a full diss track. They were blasting in the locker room, putting on someone's Snapchat story. Like, they were yelling, fuck Akron. And I was like, yo, no way.
Hey, they don't vibe. Kent State and Akron are too close together. They do not like each other.
It's funny because, like, the people in Akron think that, like, only soft people go to Kent State because it's like the fashion school or whatever. Yeah. And we're the engineering school. But according to whatever Kent State player that was, we do not F with them. We actually have real beef with them. Don't know what the real beef could be. I mean,
right. Real beef. Like, what are we talking about? Like, roll up on them. Come on.
Like, pull up on them. Someone took somebody's girl. Like, what are we talking about here?
Right.
And those players ended up catching a suspension for the game. And then Kent State went out sad, losing by 20 to Akron.
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, if you're going to talk shit, you better back it up. But it did instantly trigger, of course, my coach's mindset. And it just, it's, so the suspension, the first half suspension came from the MAC, the Mid-American Conference suspended them. And it kind of just brought me back to, like, what you should do in those situations, right? And never, ever, ever as a coach should you let the conference or NCAA suspend your players, because it sends a bad message to your team. And it sends, you know, it kind of makes it look like you are not the boss, right, of your team when you let that happen. And in my opinion, that basketball coach should have suspended them first to get it out of the way so that everyone knew he wasn't going to tolerate that shit. But instead, he did nothing in action. And it showed a little bit of incompetence, because then the MAC suspends him. Now it looks like he's lost control of his team. The conference had to step in. It's just a bad look, both internally and externally, for that coach. You always want to be the one to punish your players. I think back to 2015 when I had a handful of players fail a drug test. We immediately suspended them for the first two games, and one of which was Virginia Tech, because it was like, all right, they're going to suspend them, right?
Yeah.
So we might as well send a message both to my room, to our team, and to administration. Like, listen, we're not playing this. Like, you don't need to step in. We got it. And we suspended them. And then the university obviously came out, the infractions committee at Ohio State came out and just agreed with our suspension. It's just how you do it, right? And that way you also can control it a little bit. Like, we easily could have just, you know, tried to get them to not be suspended for Virginia Tech, but ultimately,
you gain trust from the conference when you do that, because they know that you're gonna discipline them and not, you know, embarrass them because you're taking care of it yourself.
For sure. And I mean, that was a very different situation. That was an Ohio State rule on marijuana, which is, don't get me started on it, it's so outdated and so ridiculous.
What's new?
I mean, it's legal in half the states in this country, but they still test for it and suspend a kid in Ohio. It's just completely idiotic.
You can go to Ann Arbor, go on Michigan's campus, and go to a dispensary and buy weed.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a double-edged sword, right? One side of it is, this is just so archaic, so stupid, having a marijuana drug test policy or a marijuana policy where kids get suspended and lose games is just asinine. But at the same time, as a grown-up, as an athlete, as a guy that's trying to be a pro, if there's a rule, you have to follow it. And if you don't follow it, there's a consequence. Everyone knew that. Mm-hmm. So I see both sides of it. And honestly, that was my approach to it. Was I was like, listen, I don't give a fuck what the rule is. You could get a job somewhere someday and they have a stupid ass rule and you have to follow it or else you get fired. Like, it doesn't matter if you agree. It doesn't matter if it's smart. It matters that it is a rule and you have to follow it. Simple as that. And so that was my message to those kids. And that's always been my message, especially with stuff that I don't agree with. Even as far as, because I was always a pretty transparent coach with my players. Like, if they didn't like how a game was called, it's like, listen, okay, that's life. No one fucking asked you to like how the game was called. Your job is to go out there and do your job. That's it. I don't give a shit if it's a run play, pass play. You never touch a ball. I mean, yeah, it might suck, but life sucks sometimes. Go out there and do your fucking job and shut up.
Well, your room was one of the famous rooms for being, like, you know, unselfish. So, I mean, the message obviously got across at some point. The marijuana thing is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, I oftentimes think about the fact that one of the first things Calvin Johnson did when he retired was say, oh, yeah, I smoked weed, like, just about the whole year instead of taking the painkillers. I just knew when to stop for the drug tests because, you know.
Well, that's the thing. If you fail a drug test in the NFL, you are an absolute idiot because you that just means you don't care. Because it's so well known when the drug tests are coming. Now, it's a little different when you're, once you've popped a drug test, once you failed a drug test, then they can randomly show up wherever you are or demand that you give them a test within 24 hours. Like, totally different. But how you ever fail a drug test in the NFL, you honestly have to be just an idiot or,
no, or you don't, you care, don't care. Right? Straight or up. No, I mean, yeah, exactly. But I do want to ask you, was the suspension, like, should those kids have got suspended from like Kent State? Did they deserve that? I mean, it was just a little Snapchat video. It was 30 seconds long.
No, I mean, they shouldn't have been suspended. But at the same time, how dumb can you be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, putting that on social media,
they need to
have,
and
most places do, they need to have, you know, just, I don't know if you want to call them classes, but not classes, but just like meetings with these players about social media and what they should do, shouldn't do. I mean, it was a bad look all around. It hurt those kids' individual brands. It made the team look like a fucking, like a renegade team, like just a bunch of fucking shitbags. Like, it's just, it was a bad look. Like, and I get it. Like, everyone talks like that in the locker room. That's the other side of it, right? We can pretend to be like, oh, how could they? Like, every team is like that in the locker room. Every team.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was kind of dope. I was bobbing to it a little bit.
Yeah, it was. But it was more a life lesson about, you know, public image, you know, your brand, social media, how to use it, how not to use it, mistakes that can be made, right? Like Cardale Jones, like, we didn't come here to play school type of thing. Like, it doesn't matter if what you're doing is normal. It doesn't matter if, you know, that is how it is everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're saying something that everyone says behind closed doors. When you put it out publicly, there is an impact on you, your team, the logo on your chest, like everything. And that was the lesson that needed to be learned. So, like, the actions, no, they definitely shouldn't have been suspended. But it was a life lesson on social media and how society works nowadays.
Yeah, one of the unwritten rules in sports should be the no cameras in locker rooms. I remember when Ryan Day caught some flack for saying, if we get in, I promise you, we're going to fucking kick somebody's ass. Like you said, in the locker room, and somebody recorded it and put it up. And, you know, it's that's like, the suspension is not going to stop that stuff from going on in the locker rooms. But it hopefully stops stuff from being recorded.
It takes me back to some of my legal days, right? My days in the legal system. And it's one thing when a hidden cam catches you and it's like, oh, but then it's like, yeah, he was just in the locker room firing up his team, or they were just getting pumped up. Like, totally different than when you're holding the camera, sitting there like doing this. And you go from kind of being, you know, not an innocent bystander, but it becomes reckless, right? It's the word reckless. That was a reckless abandon for public perception.
And got his teammate suspended too. Like, there was what, three suspensions on that? Just anybody who was dancing in the video just got popped.
And it is what it is. They were just reckless. They were reckless is what it was.
But they lost. Shout out Akron. I do want to ask you, I saw this story Friday. A five-star kid in 2023 has signed an agreement with a school's NIL collective pay department for over $8 million by the end of his junior year of college, but he's still in high school. Yeah. The Athletic reported it. They couldn't name the name or the school, but supposedly, as soon as he gets to campus, he'll be getting $350,000 in cash, and then he'll be getting two checks a month from that.
I mean, I seriously question the validity of this. I really do. Mm-hmm. Anytime these
It's from Stuart Mandel. I don't know if you know anything about him.
I know the name. I don't know anything about him. But anytime these reporters do a story like this, it's like, all right, this is way too vague and lacks credibility and sources for such a big story, like such a big number, $8 million. Like, never have we heard anything close to that. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that these companies are this bad at business. Like, that kid, paying that kid $8 million will 100% not net that company $8 million or more in revenue. It won't. Like, so they're literally just throwing money away to get a kid to a certain school, which I get it. Mm-hmm. That's what boosters are going to do. So I don't believe it. I believe that there's probably some type of deal. I know this stuff's going on everywhere across the country. I know that NIL deals are going to drive where kids go to school. I've said that the minute they approved it without any regulation or any guidelines. I was like, this is simply going to become an auction for players is what it is. But $8 million, that's way too high. No way. I can't imagine that is true.
Well, that's just like one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum, Florida State kid is supposedly holding out of spring practice because he does not want to get hurt until he gets an NIL deal.
It's just absolutely. Who are you holding out?
Holding out from? Yeah.
You're holding out from the school. The school doesn't give you NIL deals. You should talk to your agency or your whoever represents you. Like, hold out from your agent. You hold out from the school and the team. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Absolutely. I saw that and I was tripping a little bit. I was so confused. Like I had no words for it because all you're doing is you're holding out for spring. And it's like, do you want some of the
buddy? You're a college football player. You need spring. You need to get better. You need to learn. You need to grow as a player. Like, fuck NIL. Don't you want to make real money in the NFL? Like, you can make some peanuts now on some NIL, but you better get your ass in practice and become a great player to then go get a big check from the National Football League. Like, that's what I mean. Kids are so, their focus is so convoluted. It's all over the place. Like, I'm going to focus on this little mole right here and not worry about the mountain, right? The molehill and the mountain. It's like, what are we looking at? You're worried about a couple thousand bucks for an NIL deal when you should be grinding to become a millionaire? Just dumb.
They didn't name the name in the story, but this was the only one that made sense to me. The Manning kid. I mean, that's the only kid that has that much pull to get offered that kind of money.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the one. Still, $8 million is too high. I'm sorry. Yeah. I would be curious if Peyton Manning made $8 million on any commercial deal that he had.
Like, probably not.
I mean, just that's the kid because that's he has the only name, kid. Because he has, you know, people have been talking about him since he was a freshman, how he was going to be, you know, the generational talent, all that. So, he definitely has the name, image, and likeness. But I still think $8 million is absurd.
They said that that's the kid that's being groomed to be the next great Manning, and that's the kid that someone's getting in on. But, $8 million before his junior year of college. And I guess the way they split it up was twice a month payment, so they didn't run into a case where it's like game checks. Because if you do any more, it's just you're just getting a game check. But all that aside, Zach, the big topic for today, and also drop in the comments, like go spam the chat. How surprised are you that Tom Brady is back for another year? One being not surprised at all, 10 being absolutely shocked. Drop spam on the side, and then Zach, we'll talk about it because he's back. He's back. Yeah. I don't know what the hell happened, but he's back.
It all seems way too orchestrated to me. I mean, what has it been, 40 days he's been retired, and it was so fishy from the start. Right. Ian Rappaport is reporting that Tom Brady will retire. Right. And Tom Brady says nothing for a couple of days. Then Tom Brady's dad comes out and says, that's not true. It's not true. Like, whoever said that, no decisions have been made. It's just like, it was so awkward. And then finally, you know, a week after Ian Rappaport announces it, almost, Tom Brady comes out and retires. And you're like, what? That's how he's going to go out? Like, this random dude is going to announce it and then he's going to wait 5 days and then he's going to announce it. It didn't feel right. It didn't sound right. And then for him to now come back, it's like, this all seemed planned.
Yeah, what is it like? What is it like 44 days since his like retirement or first got leaked? Now he's 44, you know, he's 44 years old. He went overseas to go see Ronaldo. I guess there was some phone call with LeBron or something.
Right.
Just like this great.
Some poor son of a bitch last week paid $500,000 for his last touchdown pass football. And if somebody's just coming back to play football, I would be so livid. I would sue him. I would sue him for false advertisement or something.
Yeah, like, something. It's got fraud or something. It's you know, it's got to be something. So, they said that he went out. I don't know what Ronaldo said to him, but he's overseas. I think Brendan White tweeted that. Like, what the hell did Ronaldo say? It's crazy because, like, right now, I think in sports we have – probably three of the best ever in their respective sports. I know you feel a way about LeBron, but I think he's the best basketball player to ever live. And then I think that Tom Brady's the greatest football player ever. And then Ronaldo is probably the greatest soccer player ever. And so it does feel orchestrated. Like, it's like a little bit of like getting ready for an ESPN 30 for 30. Like, I can already hear the dramatic music. Ronaldo flies over, Tom Brady flies overseas, talks to Ronaldo, gets a call right. from LeBron, announces that he's coming back. Right. Like, it's just like this big, super dramatic thing. Someone buys a football for $500K. And I'm sure, you know, Tom Brady's going to throw that guy, like, what, $75,000 of Bitcoin to make him feel better about the ball. I don't know, something. It's dramatic, and he's back. And this NFL offseason, it feels like the 2015 NBA offseason, where free agency like was almost more exciting than the season.
Like, I mean, this is nuts. It's mm-hmm, nuts. It's insane. The quarterbacks that are you know, leaving, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady's back, all that stuff going on. Deshaun Watson gets completely cleared, and now he's a hot ticket item. Mm-hmm. And then now Kirk Cousins just got
getting paid. My boy Kirk Cousins.
He didn't even get a bag. He got a Brinks truck.
They just backed it up for no reason.
He didn't secure the bag. He was like, a bag? I'm Kirk Cousins. I'm securing a fucking truck.
Whoever his agent is, you know, God works hard, the devil works hard, but that boy Kirk Cousins' agent, that boy works hard as fuck.
Kirk Cousins' agent is the GOAT. I don't know who it is. I'm going to look it up, though, because if I ever am in a position to need someone to represent me to make me money, it is definitely going to be that guy. How Kirk Cousins got that deal is just unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It really speaks to the nature of the NFL, the game, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have to have a quarterback. And Minnesota knew that Kirk Cousins is not, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers. But if they don't have re-signed Kirk Cousins, who are they going to have?
Kenny Pickett.
And that would be fucking brutal. Awful. So they literally were like, no, there's not a franchise quarterback in this class. There's not a guy that we love. There's not a guy that we want to pay and even take a shot on. So we're going to pay Kirk Cousins, empty our bank account to keep Kirk Cousins, just because he's at least proficient, right? He at least kind of does a decent job. And that's where we are at the quarterback position. Outside of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, everyone else is just searching for a guy that can kind of get it done. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes plays well. Like, and they're paying a ton of money for it.
You know what? It reminded me of, like, so when Kirk Cousins got that deal, it's only a one-year deal, Zach. So it's Valentine's Day, and like the girl you want is somewhere else. And like the girl used to talk to you guys, like, you know, not cool. And there's no single girls out there. So you're like, fuck, what do I want to do for Valentine's Day? I need to, you know, hit something real quick. Let me call up the neighbor six over there. Okay, let me get her over here, do my thing, whatever. But as soon as Valentine's Day ends, let me go out there to the battlefield again. It's a one-year deal. Yeah, they're going to go get a quarterback for next year.
Press reset and see if we can find somebody prettier.
Exactly. That's what they're doing, because they said, we have the cap. Fuck it. We might as well just toss it at Kirk Cousins. We'll go get a quarterback next year. That's what it is. It's a one-year deal, fully guaranteed. It's here, and then get the out. So, yeah. I mean,
it's what it is. They're trying to avoid disastrous quarterback play, and Kirk Cousins give them a chance to have average quarterback play. And so they literally paid all that money just to not have a disastrous situation at quarterback. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you were talking, if I'm Kirk Cousins, this is my last year playing football. Like, I'm throwing that thing to Justin Jefferson every single play, no matter what. Like, fuck it, he's got to be over there somewhere. Go deep. So that's where I'm at with that. But the Tom Brady thing really shakes a lot of stuff up, because there was that kind of worst kept secret that Tampa Bay really wanted Baker Mayfield. Well, obviously, like, that's not going to happen. Like, I don't know why they wanted him, but
I can't imagine anyone wanting Baker Mayfield. Not that Baker Mayfield can't be a good player, but he's been so bad, and you blame injury, wasn't healthy, all that. That might be true, but he still has to prove it. Like, who wants Baker Mayfield right now? And also Deshaun Watson. I mean, there was a lot of talk that Deshaun Watson might end up in Tampa. And obviously now neither is going to happen. And Deshaun Watson, you know, I don't know. Where do you think he ends up? I know a lot of people are talking about Pittsburgh to take over for Big Ben. And
that would be worst case scenario for the Browns, to be honest. Like,
because then Baker would automatically be the fourth best quarterback in the conference.
In the division, you cannot be the worst quarterback in your division. I do want to ask you, though, Kirk Cousins or Jimmy G, who do you like more?
Jimmy G, I guess, but that's kind of biased, because he had such a dominant team, such a good team. You know, Kirk Cousins literally just threw it had Justin Jefferson just out there on an island. Jimmy G, they were loaded. I mean,
both of those are like getting a C in gym class. Like, you don't want it. Yeah, you'll take it, but you don't really want the C in gym class.
Right. It's like, do you want the the girl with an ugly face but a good body, or the not as good body but she's very skilled? I don't know. I mean, they're both not what you want to. You're not going to be proud of, so you'll take either one probably. Right? So which
you're,
one is it?
You're
is
wrong.
Kirk Cousins skilled and Jimmy G has a body, or what?
You're wrong. And I do want to clarify my comments on LeBron, because Michael was getting after me. LeBron is the best basketball player to ever live. But Kobe Bryant and MJ had greater impact. So to me, they're greater basketball players. I digress. I do want to keep it moving forward.
No, we have to take a minute on that. So what is best basketball player then? If MJ and Kobe had more impact and were more dynamic, okay. What is the criteria for best then?
For best? Like how good are you at the game of basketball? I think LeBron James is better at the game of basketball than Michael Jordan and Kobe. But what MJ absolutely was able to do for legacy-wise. What MJ was able to do legacy-wise, MJ had a window where he denied superstars rings. Like there is a pocket of time where the gap between Michael Jordan and the next best player was so wide that all-time greats didn't get rings. I mean, the Dream only got rings because Michael Jordan went to go play baseball for a couple of years, then came back, and then there was an extended period where guys didn't get rings. And then with Kobe, and also global impact and shoe impact, he's just greater. In terms of like lasting impact, what do kids do when they shoot a paper ball into a trash can? They say Kobe. Right. Like Kobe's impact globally, I think, was greater than LeBron's, mainly because Mamba mentality really became a mainstream thing about work ethic. But in terms of like pure basketball skill, pure what you can do on the court, the ability to play at a high level for a long, long time, I think LeBron has both of them beat. I like Kobe more, to be honest, and I know that all my Akron people listening are going to not like me for that. But I do think I can recognize LeBron as a better player than Kobe Bryant. And that's where I'm at with that.
We all can be wrong. It's fine.
Okay, come on. You're going to give me my credit. That was a great little spiel that you put me on the spot with. That was great.
It was fine, but it was great. It's factually false is all it is. LeBron is third on the list, and it's not even up for debate.
What does Kobe do better than LeBron?
Score. Scoring and winning. The two most important things in basketball. Scoring and winning.
Period. Damn it, Zach. I'm just the intern.
Go ahead, though. Keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving. Now, I just want to talk about football, and you're over here putting me on the spot. Yes, MJ and Kobe were both killers. I can recognize that.
And LeBron is a soft bitch.
Okay.
He whines and cries like a little bitch nonstop.
LeBron said back in the day that he thinks he could win a scoring title whenever he wanted to, but he also likes being a 7+ assist guy. Something that
I got no problem with that. That's all great. I'm talking about he's bitch made. Like he is a bitch boy. He is like just the shit he peddles, the stuff he says. Not only that, on the court, I mean, he'll get like someone will brush his face, and I think he is hanging out with Ronaldo too much because he flops around on the ground like a fucking soccer player. It's awful. Like nobody will ever think you're the GOAT if you act like that ever. Michael Jordan had the flu and didn't want you to know it. Right.
LeBron James
has the sniffles and won't shut up about it. Like that's the difference. It's a mentality. He is not the GOAT. He is a very, very good basketball player.
I don't think LeBron is the GOAT. I said LeBron.
You just said he's the best basketball player.
The best player to ever live. But GOAT to me is performance plus legacy.
Best that ever lived is the greatest of all time. Best to ever play it is the greatest of all time. They mean the same thing. They're synonymous. No.
It's like I think James Harden is a better basketball player than Dwayne Wade, but I think Dwayne Wade, the rings, the legacy, will be remembered as a better basketball player than James Harden. Like greater.
Well,
basketball
I don't know player. About that, but whatever. I think we don't need to go on a basketball.
Yeah, let me. Basketball is my strong suit. We can talk hoops, Zach. You don't want that with me.
Not my strong suit, but I do know athletics, and that's where I can voice my opinion on LeBron, MJ, and Kobe.
I think we're close on this.
What sport it is.
I like, really think we're closer on this. I think we're closer on this. I just think that LeBron skill wise is better than the other
I just
two.
Think you live in Akron and you can't not believe that LeBron's not the best of all time, because since you were growing up, it's just been everywhere.
See, look, wait,
LeBron's the GOAT. LeBron's the GOAT.
No. Here's the thing. We'll stand on this, because Harden is nowhere close to D-Wade. James Harden is one of the three greatest scorers in modern day basketball. Like, think about it, Zach. You know, there's been three shooting guards to have a season of 35 or more points. You know who they are? Kobe, Michael Jordan, and James Harden. Like, James, and here we go. James Harden did it on less free throws than the other two and on less shots than the other two. So, like, James Harden being remembered as not better than Dwayne Wade is absolutely ridiculous, because James Harden is a better basketball player than Dwayne Wade. Like, he's a better scorer. He's a better passer. Only thing that he wasn't able to do was get fucking LeBron or Shaq on that team to win him a ring. Like, that's it.
That's fair.
And so that's where I'm at with that in terms. But historically, Dwayne Wade will always be remembered as, you know, like, I didn't mean to put that back up there. Dwayne Wade will always be remembered as, like, someone who greater impact because of his time with the Miami Heat, even though James Harden is a far, far better scorer, like, better player in general. Like, even when they got on him for the not playing defense thing, James Harden led the league in steals. He's a far better basketball player, but because of narrative and media stuff, he won't be remembered as a greater player than Dwayne Wade. I'm done arguing with you and with Rod. I want to talk about football, because that's why I'm here. I digress. Also, shout out to James Harden, third most three-pointers in NBA history, just while we're here. Dwayne Wade could never. Anyway, geez, gonna be fired up, man. I've had like two coffees. Like, I'm charged up. I could talk hoops for forever. But I do want to talk back about the quarterback stuff, because that's where we were. Quarterbacks, and then, okay, the Browns made a deal. Amari Cooper is now a Brown. Before we get into him, I do want to ask you, does that change what you do philosophy-wise as the first pick in the draft?
For who? You mean
the Browns? No, just for the Browns. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think it does. I mean, they certainly have needs elsewhere, but they need in a more, let's not act like Amari Cooper's a top 10 NFL receiver right now. I mean, he had his years, he had his moments, and he's a really good player. Huge addition for the Browns. I think it's a great move for essentially a fifth round pick, but he's not Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. He's not that upper echelon playmaker in the NFL, a Deebo Samuel or a Cooper Kupp. Like, he's not that. So the Browns still don't have that. Even when they bring back Juice and they have DPJ, they have Hollywood, now they have Amari, they have they literally have a crew of really solid NFL receivers, right? Really solid. Like, great group. Just missing that premier player. Just missing that one piece that is a top 10 player in the NFL. And I'm not saying Garrett Wilson is going to be that year one, but I think he can be eventually. And so I really think that's still the move. You need that premier playmaker on the outside. You do. And it's not Amari Cooper. It's not Jarvis Landry. It's not any of those guys. Those guys are going to have awesome impact and be critical components of this offense, but they need a home run hitter. They need a killer. They need a Jamar Chase. They do.
Yeah. So that's where I want to go with this next question, is that, do you believe that he's an upgrade over Odell Beckham Jr. and does he help Baker Mayfield?
I don't know. He's an upgrade to Odell. Odell's a really good player. And I mean, outside of the off the field antics, I mean, Odell, you would rather have Odell on the field than Amari Cooper right now. But I mean, that all needs to be taken into account. But I'm tired of hearing people talk about, does this help Baker Mayfield? Does this help Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield needs to get healthy, shut the fuck up and
help himself
and play. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. He's got enough talent around him. Enough. I'm not saying he has a top five receiver in the NFL, but not everybody needs that. Tom Brady's never had a top five receiver in the NFL. I mean, that's not entirely true, but you get my point, right? Tom Brady never needed just great players all around him. Like, Tom Brady just was an elite quarterback, and that's Baker Mayfield was the number one overall pick. He's got to start playing like an elite quarterback. I don't care who his receivers are. Right now, the receivers that he has are far good enough to win if he is a great player. If he's not, then we'll talk about, like, oh man, we should get him another receiver. It's like, no. Get his ass out and get a new quarterback in then. He's got enough talent. He's got a run game better than anyone else in the NFL. His offensive line is outstanding. Like, he doesn't need another playmaker to win. He's just got to play better. And then add another playmaker, and they got a chance to be really, really good. But it's more a conversation of the Browns at that point than it is Baker. Baker needs to be play like a great quarterback, period. Right. That's what he needs to do. And fuck everything else.
It's super interesting because when you draft a guy number one overall and you feel like he's your franchise, you then pencil him in for the next, 10 to 15 years is what you want from a number one overall pick. Yeah, if you are a quarterback,
really unrealistic, but yeah, that'd
be nice. It is. But even if you pencil him in for 10 years, it's you want a guy that is, if a guy's a franchise quarterback, he has to be able to weather storms. Like, you have to be able to go a year or two when the weapons aren't ideal. You have to be able to go a year or two when the offensive line maybe isn't his best. I mean, we saw what Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay, and granted, that's one of the all-time greats, but he weathered storms because you can't always have the cap space and the, you know, the talent available to you, and injuries happen. You have to be able to weather storms for pockets. I mean, we saw Drew Brees without a true number one before Michael Thomas get there do just fine. And if that's what you expect from a number one overall pick, you have to absolutely be able to win with or without Amari Cooper, at least
for sure. Yeah, you have to. And this is going to circle all the way back to the LeBron versus Kobe and Michael Jordan conversation, because you just have to find a way to win. Winning is what matters. Like, I don't give a shit who you have. The transcendent players at the quarterback position. I'm not even talking about greatest of all time. I'm just talking about the guys that are they are what you hope they are in a number one overall pick, right? The Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, like all those great players, right? They found a way to win no matter what. Like, rarely did they have a bad season. Now, they might not win the Super Bowl, but they always found a way to get it done, right? They found some schemes, some offensive structure that with the personnel they had, they could get it done. They made throws that they needed to make. They managed offenses, let their defense play. Like, whatever the situation was, they found a way to win. Enough with the excuses. Baker needs to just fucking win, or else he's got to go.
You have to be a strength on your team. Like, you have to be a strength if you're the quarterback on your team, because even when the weapons aren't there, you can't be a negative. And it feels like that's where Baker Mayfield was at. Like, the running backs were a plus. The wide receivers were decent. They weren't a glaring problem. They were decent. The O-line was a plus. For Baker Mayfield, you also have to be a plus. And when you are not, then you run into issues. And he's got a year to figure this shit out, Zach, because this is the dating period. And once that dating period ends, they got to decide if they're going to put a ring on you. And to put a ring on you, you better at least show them a little glimpse of maybe potentially getting to a ring, because the NFL is about one thing and one thing only: winning a Super Bowl. That's period.
And you look at a guy like Jimmy G, which we talked about earlier. That is a guy that just he just gets it done with what with what limitations he has. He's not a great player, but he's not the reason they lose, right? Exactly. Baker has been the reason the Browns lose. You can't be that. At least be a guy that just kind of gets it done and let other people win the games for you. Your defense, your run game. Like, just don't fuck it up. Baker consistently just fucks it up, and that's the problem.
We're bitching about Kirk Cousins getting paid, and Kirk Cousins, to me, is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield, at least certainly last year. And obviously, we want to see healthy Baker, and we know that that's super important. But things, I mean, that needs to be addressed. And honestly, this is they're putting the pieces for Baker, and if he doesn't get it, they're going to go get a quarterback next year, Zach.
Oh, for
sure. Like, they're going to go get a guy, because there's going to be some good ones.
So, the real question here is, Do you hope for a disastrous season to get rid of Baker, get him out of there, and get the number one, number two, number three overall pick and have a shot at CJ Stroud or Bryce Young? Like, maybe that's the move. Maybe they're not dealing Baker. They're not going after Deshaun because they don't see Deshaun Watson as a franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. And they're saying, you know what? Let's see what Baker can do. Let him go. Let him get healthy, right? Got to get healthy. Let him get healthy, and then if he fails miserably, we'll plummet and we'll go get who we think is an actual franchise quarterback in CJ Stroud or Bryce Young.
And now with the division, I mean, especially if Deshaun Watson ends up a Steeler, you absolutely hope for a disastrous season, because you finish fourth in the division, you go get a quarterback in that Bryce Young, CJ Stroud class, and you go run this thing back. You can't have a bottom quarterback in your own division. You cannot. And for people, you know, that hope for a disastrous season, they're going to get bashed for like not being a fan. But my mind's already made up about Baker Mayfield. I know that you have a lot to think about with Baker Mayfield. Obviously, you're the guy that goes in and evaluates. But yeah, I mean, you almost kind of hope for a disastrous season, for me personally, to go get a quarterback in, because the O-line's good. The running backs are really good.
The AFC North has become a quarterback's arms race right now. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson, the most electric quarterback in the NFL. You potentially could have Deshaun Watson, who let's not forget, he was dominant when he was playing.
He was the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
And then now with Joe Burrow, what he's doing in Cincinnati, like, this is a absolutely stupid conference in the AFC North. And so is Baker a caliber, that caliber of player? I don't think he is. So I think you need to let him absolutely just drown this year. And you got to go get a quarterback that might be able to be in that arms race. And I think I really do.
If you throw him in that water and he swims and becomes Phelps, fuck it. Cool. Let's run with it. But now you're in a division with baby Brady, baby Michael Vick, and potentially Deshaun Watson. It's like you gotta get somebody. And I do want to ask you about do you think CJ's a franchise quarterback? I think he has some stuff mentally to take care of, like some toughness.
Oh, he's
issues.
Got a ways to go, but I think he's capable of being a franchise quarterback. But I go back to the same thing. Like when we get on that conversation, and it's premature. So no, he's not yet. But Dwayne Haskins throws the ball as well as anyone.
Yeah,
like there's something else up here to being a franchise quarterback, and I've never seen that from CJ Stroud, not once. So will he develop that? Will he mature? Will he lose the fucking Cali bullshit? I don't know. But
we saw a glimpse of it when he was in Cali, when he was back home. We saw it in that Utah game. He finally toughened up a little bit.
I mean, I think there's a little false bravado, but that's fine. I gotta see it. I gotta see consistency. I gotta see him show that he's a franchise quarterback mentally. And now, I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm talking about toughness. I'm talking about swagger. I'm talking about, like you said, finding a way to move the chains, finding a way to win. Like being a franchise quarterback is so much bigger than how do you throw the ball. Because CJ Stroud, just like Dwayne Haskins, is really fucking good at throwing a football. That doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter, but it's not all that matters. And so can he be a franchise quarterback? I don't know. Honestly, I would take Bryce Young right now over CJ Stroud, because he at least has that it factor. Like he has those intangibles, that spark. He has all of that. He's tough. He runs all that. CJ's a better passer, but Bryce Young at least acts like a competitive winner.
Yeah. And Bryce Young has that. You know, if the weather's bad, if, you know, my car's broken down, I'm still going to get us to work and we're still going to do a good job.
Right.
And that's CJ Stroud has that. If the weather's bad and my nose is stuffy, I'm staying home. Like we're not going out to. So, absolutely. I mean, and you can tell that. So I do think it's going to be it's a quarterback debate that we're going to be having all season, I'm sure. But Bryce Young's a gamer. Like you said, Bryce Young's really good.
CJ Stroud is LeBron and Bryce Young is Kobe.
Man, I'm ready to drop a full basketball episode because they're in the comments frying me.
We don't have to. We don't have to. We already dropped it. It's this one. And that's what it is. CJ Stroud's LeBron. He's going to complain about how he's sick. He wasn't feeling well, but no excuses, even though I just made an excuse. Like that's just his mentality. And I mean, to each their own, I guess. A lot of people think LeBron's the GOAT, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I never said he was the GOAT. My literal argument was he's not the GOAT. He's the best to ever play, but he's not the greatest.
It's literally the same thing.
No, it's not. Greatest is more about like legacy and impact paired with play. You can like here we go. Who's a better basketball player? Let's go with Allen Iverson or Mike Bibby.
How can anything be greater than the best?
No, it's Zach. Don't do this to me.
I'm just saying we can take an etymology course right now if you want to. How can anything be greater than the best? Like if this is the best sushi I've ever had, where is there greater sushi in the world? If this is the best,
so it's like, damn it.
There's no such thing.
You're good at this. You're good at this. I used to be able to run around these Akron radio DJs about greatest versus best. I'll just.
But I mean, we'll get down to the root of words now. We'll make it.
We don't talk about the root of words because you know what I mean. It's like
I honestly don't. How can anything be greater than the best?
Okay. Let's see.
All right. So who's the boat?
Who's the boat? LeBron.
So who's the GOAT?
Michael Jordan.
Sorry, bro. I'm out.
Man, it's out,
the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. All right, you got it. All right, well, everyone, just reminder, hop in these March Madness deals with us. That we got the Bracketology, $20, Venmo, Camera Media. Squares are the big thing right now. We're almost halfway full. $100 a square at Camera Media on Venmo. We'll get you on the board, win some money, and have fun, man. I love this time of year, Chris.
Shout out the
March
Elks, Madness. Though, too. Shout out the Elks, by the way.
Absolutely. Oh, and shout out to the Centerville Elks, speaking of Elks, who are in the Final Four right now of basketball in Ohio. So I might try to make it to a game, man. It looked wild. That Elite Eight game looked wild. So shout out to the Elks. We're watching you, man. So I appreciate everybody. Menace out.